Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. We'll continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, and tonight we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And our focus is going to be verses, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, let me go ahead and read our text for this evening. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this privilege to teach your word on the radio. And Father, we don't know who's listening. You do, and we believe those who are listening by divine appointment. May this message bless them. May it be used in their life to help them mature and grow as Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this section, the Apostle Paul uses athleticism as an illustration. And in particularly running a race. We are running a Christian race. And what we're going to give this a title this evening is three keys to running a good race. Three keys to running a good race. Now, the day we began to run this race was the day we got saved. We trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we received a new birth, and then as a result of that, we've seen our condition, and our hearts were opened, and we received the Lord Jesus. Then from that day on, while we're living, we're running a race. And that's when you entered the race, the day that you got saved. The Lord, when He saved your soul, He saved you to serve Him. He uses the illustration here of a race. He uses the illustration of other places that we're soldiers, that we're in a fight, that we're in a battle, and that we're warriors. But we're also likened here as athletes. So the idea is that He didn't save us to sit and not serve Him. We are to be faithful servants to the Lord. We are also to be good soldiers. And at the end of our day, we want it to be able to be said that we ran a good race. Now, Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, as he came to the end of his days, he realized that he was going to die for the cause of Christ. And listen what he says in verse 2 Timothy 4:6. He says, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course." Now, the idea of course there is a race course. So he views himself having fought a good fight. He views himself there as a soldier. But he also views himself as someone that has been running a race. In verse 7, he said, "I finished my course." So his race was finished and it was over. So you're running a race. If you're listening to me tonight, you're saved. You're running a race. And you want to run a good one. And this text reveals three keys in it. By which we can run a good race. And that's going to be the focus in the broadcast this evening. Again, you get the idea of after now that you are saved, you're to be active running for Him. You're to be active warring for Him. You're to be active serving Him. As Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ. And that indeed is true. So many people have made professions of faith, but they don't give the Lord the time of day. They don't pray to Him. They don't serve Him. They don't use their talents in His work. They don't worship Him publicly, nor do they worship Him privately. And folks, there's something wrong when someone makes a profession and then shows no desire to want to run, shows no desire to want to serve Him. And, of course, we do that because we love Him. And we do that because we want to bring glory and honor and praise to Him. So let's go ahead and look at the keys to running a good race. And the first one's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 9. It says in verses 24 and 25, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, only one gets the prize, only one receives the prize." And who's the one that receives the prize? Well, the winner does. Then he goes on to say, "So run." He says, "So run" in verse 24. And then verse 26, he also says, "So run. I therefore so run." So when he says to so run, what's he talking about? We're to run like the winner. The one that receives the prize in a race is the one that is the winner. And the winner is the one that we are to run like. We're to run our race like the winner. That's why he says, so run. Run like the one that gets the prize. Well, there's three keys to running like the winner. Three keys to running a good race. And the first one is seen in verse 25. Every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. If you're going to run a good Christian race, you must be temperate. The idea of the word temperate means to self-control. It means we use it today in reference to discipline. We talk about an athlete and we'll say that they're a very disciplined athlete. That means they train hard. They have a lot of self-control. There'll be a lot of things that they don't eat. There'll be a lot of bad habits that they don't have. They want to keep their body fine-tuned so that they can be great athletes. So they're temperate. They seek to eat right, and they also seek to push out all the junk. Well, Christian athletes needs to be the same way. If we're going to run a good race for the Lord in the Lord's work, we also must be temperate. We must have self-control, and we must indeed also be disciplined in order to run a good Christian race. So what we want to do in looking at temperance is consider the athlete. Consider those today that are great athletes and just look how physically how they have their body under control, how they seek to keep themselves from junk, and how they seek to get enough sleep, and how they seek to eat right. Well, we're to do the same thing spiritually. And that's the idea of it. We must eat right. If we're going to be run a good race and be good Christian athletes, then we have to eat right. And with that, we also need to push out the junk. What does it mean we must eat right? Well, we got to have a steady diet of the Word. We got to have a steady diet of the Word of God. Now, folks, we are so blessed to be able to have our own copy of the Scriptures. I mean, we have both Old and New Testaments. Back in the Bible days, you could find the Old Testament Scriptures at synagogues, but people didn't have their own personal copy of the Scriptures. You can go back in the book of Deuteronomy where they would make a copy of the law for the king. So the king would have a copy of the Scriptures. So we have our own copy. And I can just imagine one day going to heaven and some of those brethren there, you had the whole book. Well, I bet you never got out of it. How blessed we are to have the whole book, both Old and New Testament. So if we're going to run a good race, then we have to be disciplined. We have to be temperate. We have to eat right. We got to have a good steady diet of the Word of God. And we must have the Word of God in private. We need to have a time every day that we spend in the Word of God. The book of 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. I mean, when you're first saved, you're just like an infant. You're just like a babe. And as you take in the Word of God, you grow spiritually. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to cause you to grow. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to sanctify you. To help work sin out of your life, to help you grow as a Christian. He uses the Scriptures. I tell you, churches have done a great disservice to the book. You can't hardly get folks to come to church to hear God's Word. They like entertainment, and they like all these other things that churches have today in order to draw a crowd. And there's nothing wrong with having a crowd. It's the reason why the crowd's there is what's important. You should go to God's house to hear God's word. And the word of God will help you be temperate. You'll take someone and you take them away. You take someone that knows the Lord and you unplug them from the Bible. You watch how worldly they become. And the devil knows that. He'll try every technique in the world to try to get you out of God's house from where you're hearing God's word. He'll try to get you so wrapped up in the world that you don't have time privately to read God's word. We need to have God's word in order to run a good Christian race. Without a steady diet of the word, we won't grow. Let me say it one more time. Without a steady diet of the scriptures, we will not grow. That's why he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So we have to eat the scriptures. Every day there should be a devotion time where we meet with the Lord. And he uses the word to discipline us. The word of God reveals to us things in our life that shouldn't be there. Sometimes you'll come to church and you'll hear a message and it will just get all over you. And if the Lord's using his book to show you that there's things in your life that needs to be put off. And there's things in your life that you need to do. So the word of God is what disciplines the Christian runner, the one that's running the Christian race. In order to run a good race, you must be temperate. You must eat right. The Bereans in Acts 17 says that they received the word with readiness of man, and then they searched the scriptures daily to see whether they were so. So the word of God is how you grow. And the word of God is what reveals sin to you. In the book of Psalms 119, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So, to run a good Christian race, you must be temperate. You must maintain self-control. How you do that? You got to eat right. You got to eat right. You got to have a daily diet of the scriptures. Plus, you got to go to the house of God where the scriptures are taught. Look, 1 Timothy says that the house of God, the church, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. After people are saved, according to the commission, after one becomes a disciple, then they are to be baptized, then they are to be taught. I tell you, people don't know their Bibles anymore like they should, because they don't go where they can hear it preached at, for one thing, and then number two, they don't read it themselves. You need it. If you're going to run a good race, you got to know the Word of God. Get you closer to the Lord when you're in the Scriptures. You watch someone that gets away from the Word of God and watch how worldly they become. Watch how unfruitful they become. You need the Word. You need the Word. So, if you want to run a good race, if you want to be, then you must be temperate. And part of being temperate is eating right and then pushing out the junk. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says that evil associations will corrupt your good manners. If you're going to run a good race spiritually, then you got to remove evil associations from you. And evil associations are a noun. They are people. They can be places. And they can be things. There are certain places that God's people don't got no business going to because sin is prevalent there. There are certain things that God's people should not set before their eyes. Psalms 101 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalms 119 says, I'm a companion of all those that fear thee. So you need to run with those that's going to encourage you to serve the Lord. If you get around a person that encourages you to sin all the time, and then you get out of the Word of God and out of the house of God, then in time, you'll begin to pick up the sinful lifestyle that they have. So you got to be temperate. You got to be temperate. You got to eat right. But you also, along with that, you got to push out the junk. Any kind of evil association that corrupts your mind or corrupts your thinking. You need to push that out and get a good steady diet of the Scriptures. So key number one to running a good Christian race is you must be temperate. Key number two is mentioned here also. You got to keep your mind on the goal. You got to keep your mind on the goal and not forget that you're accountable. Let me go ahead and read that to you. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate. That's our first key. You have self-control. You seek to eat right and push out the junk. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Those that are natural athletes, they will have their body under subjection. They'll push out the junk. They'll be under a strict disciplinary way of living so that they can be in good shape, so that they can be strong. They do all these things, but they do it to get a corruptible crown. They do it to get a trophy or a gold medal. Back in the days of Paul, they would receive these little wreaths around their head. That was what they would call their crown. But it was a corruptible crown. Many times it would be made of certain kinds of plants around their head. You've seen pictures of it back in the days of the Caesars. But they would receive these corruptible crowns. They would corrupt. They would get old. They would wither. But we're running for an incorruptible crown. We must keep our mind on the incorruptible crown. We must not forget that we're accountable. So the second key is we don't forget we're accountable. And we keep our mind on the goal. Folks, there will be a day that every Christian runner will stand before the King. And we will give a reckoning, an accounting for the life that we live for the Lord. We'll give an account of, we're accountable for our service. We're accountable for our race. I mean, many people live like they're never going to stand before the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. As far as my sins is concerned, they've been put as far as the east is from the west. Look at Romans says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He don't charge sin to our account. He don't do it. He charged all of our sin to Jesus. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous. So as far as our sin debt is concerned, it's been paid in full. But we still have a life to live. And we're going to give an accounting for that life. Was we faithful? Did we use our talent? Did we use it for the right reason? Was our motives right? We've already talked about that here in the book of 1 Corinthians. But let me go ahead and read you a text, Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. And notice what this says. It says in verse 10, why dost thou judge your brother? Why dost thou set it not your brother? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we won't be at the great white throne of judgment. That will be the lost. But we will stand before His judgment. The idea of seat here is bema. And a bema back in the days of Paul was a rewards table. When at the end of a race, they were brought to the rewards table to receive their reward for the race they ran. And he's just using that as an illustration, showing us that we as Christian runners are accountable to Jesus to run a good race. And that's what he's saying in 1 Corinthians 9. We need to live a life that's temperate. We need to push out the junk, and we need to eat right, have a steady diet of the Word. But along with that, we need to make sure that we remember that there will be a day that we will be called into an accountability for our lives that we lived here on the earth. We're not our own, the Bible says. We've been bought with a price. Now we are to serve Him the rest of our days. And folks, when you truly know the Master and you're right with the Lord, that's what you want to do. I'm not serving Him to get saved. I'm serving Him because I am saved. Eternal life, Romans 6:23 says, the wages or the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you'll notice in that text it uses the term wage and it uses the term gift. Eternal life is not called a wage. A wage is something you earn. A gift is something someone else worked for and gives to you. Eternal life was purchased by Jesus Christ by dying and rising again. It's a gift. He gives it to you. When you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. Now, you're to serve Him. You're to run your race. And He, one day, you'll stand before the judgment bema, and you'll receive a reward for faithful service. And we've done seen that, as I said, in the book of 1 Corinthians, there'll be some there that will suffer loss. Their souls will be saved, but they will receive no reward. Perhaps their motive wasn't what it should be. Perhaps they never put the kind of effort in that they should have. They weren't faithful. We want to be faithful servants. So as the parable of the talents in the book of Matthew 25 and the parable of the pounds in the book of Luke, when we get called into reckoning for our race or for our labor or our lives that we lived after we're saved, we can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we keep that in our mind constantly. Key number two, you don't forget you're accountable. You don't forget you're accountable. You must be temperate. You must be disciplined. You must eat right and push out the junk. But you also must not forget that you're accountable for your life you live. You don't want to come to the end of your days and look back over your life and say, "I wasted it. I wasted it." 'Tis only one life that'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is what will last. Well, last of all, and I'm going to take this one from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Here's the third key to running a good race. Sometimes athletes, what they do is they draw inspiration by looking at past athletes who ran a great race. And they'll sometimes, if they win a gold medal, they'll describe somebody that was their inspiration for training and for running and for doing what they did so well. But they had inspiration for that. Well, our inspiration is given in Hebrews 12, and this is the third key to running a good race. We must look to Jesus. Who was the greatest athlete, the greatest Christian athlete that ran the greatest race? It was Jesus. Listen to this now. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." You're going to run a good race. That's part of temperance, isn't it? You got to lay aside those weights. You got to lay aside anything that would hinder you from running like you should. That would fall under temperance, which we've already looked at. And it says, "Let us run with patience." And the idea of patience is endurance. Christian race is an endurance run. It's not over till the day the Lord calls you out. Now, here's the verse I was after, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You must be inspired. You must be inspired. Inspired by what? Inspired by Jesus. He's the one that ran the greatest race. You must look to Him. What kind of race did Jesus run? Oh my. It says here He was the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. No one ran a race like Jesus did. Jesus took flesh, lived a 100% perfect life, went to Calvary, paid our sin debt, rose the third day victorious, sin, death, and hell. He over sin, death, and hell, and He's our inspiration. No one ran the race that He did. But we look unto Him. It says in verse 3, "Consider Him which suffered such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." When I get weary and feel like giving up, I look to Jesus. I look at what all He suffered for me. I look what all He went through for me. No one ever suffered as much as Jesus did when He died on Calvary. I look to Him. He did that for me. He did that for sinners. I draw inspiration by looking to the greatest Christian athlete, the greatest that ever run the race, and that was Jesus. My friend, He's the one that we draw inspiration from. We look to Him. Well, folks, in this message this evening, we're talking about running a Christian race. I must ask you, as I've come to the end of the broadcast tonight, if you're saved, what kind of race are you running? Have you quit running? Maybe you're listening to me and you're not even in the race. You need to trust Jesus. You can't run for the Lord until you're saved, until you're a child, until you're in the race. And that comes by trusting Christ as your Savior. If you're going to run a good race, I give you three keys tonight. Number one, you must be temperate. You must eat right. Good steady diet of the Scriptures, and you must push out the junk. Number two, you must be focused. You must not forget that you're accountable for the life that you're now living. And you must keep your mind on the goal one day of hearing from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You must be focused. You must be temperate. You must be focused. And finally, you must be inspired. What's your inspiration? Jesus is our inspiration. We look to Him and we see what He did for us, how He suffered such contradiction from sinners for us so that we would have everlasting life. Well, my friend, I pray that you know Him and I pray that you're in the race. And if not, I pray that you call upon His name right now and say, "Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to trust you." If you've drifted, "Lord, I want you to forgive me." Get back in God's house, place where you can hear God's Word taught every service, a place where you can be instructed out of His book. Get back in His house. Get back in His Word at home. Get back into a daily devotion with the Lord so that you can be close to Him and you'll get stronger and your race will be better. Well, folks, this has been Good Hope Through Grace, brought to you by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Senior. Thank you so much for listening.